من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، this is a Nadwa or a symposium from the 11th Convention of Al-Quran wa Sunnah Society with the general title of At-Tazkiyah or the purification of the souls. And this Nadwa, the participants in it are, the main participants are Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi and Sheikh Waleed Basyuni, who have been introduced in earlier sessions. The title of this lecture is, or Nadwa, is At-Tazkiyah or Purification of the Soul is the Way to Victory. Is the Way to Victory. Allah Azza wa Jal says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. After Allah Azza wa Jal makes his oath with many of his creatures or creation, afterwards he says, therefore, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, which means, indeed, he is successful, he who purifies it, which means purifies his soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ, and he is in failure or in loss, the one who puts it down or immerses it into humility and degradation and disobedience. So now, inshallah, the speakers will participate in bringing light around this ayah and the general meaning of or title of this lecture. First of all, I want to ask Sheikh Ali to tell us how this ayah would reflect on the behavior of the nations, and that it does not apply only to the individuals. أن هذه هذا الفلاح هو لا يعني فقط فلاح الأفراد وإنما أيضا يكون فلاحا للأمم.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، ففي قول الله تبارك وتعالى قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها دليل أن التزكية سبيل للفلاح، وأن الفلاح ليس أمرا شخصيا متعلقا فقط بالأفراد، وإنما هو أمر عام شامل متعلق بالأفراد والجماعات، بالحكام والمحكومين، وبعموم الناس أجمعين. وأن هذا الفلاح ليس فلاحا فقط في الآخرة، وإنما هو فلاح أيضا في الدنيا، كما قال الله عز وجل الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. لهم الأمن في الدنيا والآخرة، أمن النفوس واطمئنانها وهدوءها وأمانها. وكما قال الله عز وجل ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون، هم المفلحون، فلا يكون أحدا أو أحد من الناس في حزب الله ومن جند الله ومن أولياء الله إلا أن يكون عبدا ملتزما بأمر الله، قائما بالتزكية على وجهها الحق، حتى ينال صورة الفلاح هذه في دنياه إيمانا وفي آخرته أمانا. وكما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فيما يروي عن ربه: إني لا أجمع على عبدي أمنين وخوفين، فمن خافني في الدنيا أمنني يوم القيامة، ومن أمنني في الدنيا خافني يوم القيامة. أي من التزم بأمر الله وزكى نفسه بطاعة الله وخاف الله واتقاه كان مأمونا عند ربه، ومن لم يفعل كان لا عذاب ولا عقاب ولا ثواب ولا حساب، ولم يقم بما أوجبه الله عليه مما هو داخل في وسعه ونطاقه من الأعمال الصالحة، فإنه لن يأمن من عذاب الله وسخطه الذي أوبق به نفسه وأوقع به ذاته. والله تعالى أعلم.
The Sheikh answering Dr. Muhammad Jibali's question says, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and blessings upon his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is evident that the proof that tazkiyah is key to success, it is not only success for the individual who is performing tazkiyah by himself, but when it is collectively done, it is success for society in all of its ways and all of its regions and in all of its capabilities. It will be success for the rulers and for those who are ruled. Success for society in whole and in general. And the success will not only be found in the akhirah. It is not something that you will only be rewarded for in the akhirah if you perform tazkiyah, purification. You will also have success in the dunya, for you will have the peace from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will have the tuma'neen, and you will have the tranquility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those, لا يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم, those who do not impurify their belief with ظلم, meaning shirk or disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لهم الأمن, they shall have peace and tranquility and salvation, meaning in the dunya and in the akhirah. This will be something that will be a direct result of this. Also, ألا إن حزب الله هم المفلحون, verily the group of Allah or the party of Allah, those who help the cause of Allah, they are the ones who will be successful. And obviously the success is not something that will only be in the akhirah. No, it will be something also in the dunya that they shall see and feel. The Sheikh continues and says, For to be in the group of Allah or in the party of Allah, the person obviously has to be from the servants and the slaves and the worshippers of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he would be a person who is performing tazkiyah. For this is how you would be considered from this righteous group of people. The Sheikh continues and says, you will have this success, will have iman in the dunya. It will show its fruits can be having belief in the dunya, having a strong iman in the dunya, and you shall have salvation in the akhirah and peace in the akhirah. And he says that, mentioning to us the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah has promised his slave that he shall not combine two hardships or two eases for him. Meaning that if, as the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if the person fears Allah in the dunya, then Allah shall not make him be in fear on the day of akhirah. Because you fear Allah in this dunya, on the day of akhirah you will be in ease and peace. But if you did not fear Allah in the dunya, you will be in hardship and you will be in fear in the akhirah. And this is what the Sheikh was enforcing upon us and explaining to us from different angles and from different viewpoints. And this is where the Sheikh had stopped off.
Okay, actually Sheikh Ali Jazallah Khairan spilled over, answered other questions that I did not ask, that I was planning to ask later on. So I hope that in the future the answer will be directly to the question that I asked. أقول يعني أجبت عن أشياء لم أسأل عنها إضافة إلى ما سألت عنه، فرجاء تكون الإجابة محددة يعني بالسؤال الذي يسأل في بعد. In regard to falah or success that is mentioned in many ayat of the Quran regarding people who do certain good deeds. We discussed Tawbah, for example, and we said that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those are the successful. And here Allah Azza wa Jalla says, he is indeed successful who purifies his soul. And there are many other ayat. We say, حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ in the prayer. So, in the adhan for the prayer. So, what is falah? What is falah? What is it, the general understanding or meaning of falah, and what are the most important things that come under the understanding of falah, and does it pertain to this life or to the next life or to both, and so on? That is what Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman Waleed will tell us, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله أجمعين. وبعد، الفلاح من جوامع الكلم.
Falah is something that is from جوامع الكلم, meaning it is a short word or a short statement that has great and vast meaning in our language.
فهي تعني النجاح.
It means success.
وتعني الحصول على المقصود.
And attaining what you were intending.
وتعني السعادة.
And having happiness.
والفلاح في الشريعة ينقسم إلى قسمين.
Having success in the Sharia is of two types.
في الدنيا والآخرة.
In this dunya and in the آخرة.
والنصوص الشرعية التي جاءت في بيان الفلاح أطلقت الفلاح فجعلته عاما للدنيا والآخرة.
And the Islamic principles and the Islamic laws that have been derived in the Sharia, they portray that falah, that success, is in the dunya and in the آخرة.
وأعظم فلاح في الدنيا.
The greatest success that can be found in this life.
أن الإنسان يستطيع أن يفلح في الوصول إلى ربه ومعرفة ربه ومعرفة ما يحب ربه ويرضاه.
The greatest success that a person can attain in this life is to know Allah سبحانه وتعالى and worship Him according to what he has knowledge of, and come closer to Allah سبحانه وتعالى.
ويعرف ما يحب الله ويرضاه وما يبغضه ولا يرضاه.
Knowing what Allah loves and wishes for you to do and knowing what Allah hates and does not wish for you to do.
وكذلك من فلاح الدنيا الذي يترتب على ذلك الفلاح الحسي المعنوي وهي التوفيق في أمور الدنيا. وهذا يأتي تبعا لهذا الأصل الشرعي من اتباع الكتاب والسنة.
And also from the types of success is having moral and a conscious success that you can feel. And this is something that is derived after the first success, which is coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worshipping and implementing His Sharia.
لذلك قال الله عز وجل ولو آمن أهل القرى لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض.
This is what Allah said in the Quran, and if the people on earth would believe and they would accept the groups of people, and they would believe in Allah, we would open upon them the barakat, the blessings of the skies, the heavens, and of the earth.
ولذلك إذا أفلح الناس في معرفة ربهم وتوحيد ربهم وتصحيح هذه العقيدة في قلوبهم وتطبيق الشريعة في أفعالهم جمع الله لهم خير الدنيا. ولذلك في آخر الزمان حينما يظهر التوحيد وتستقر عقيدة وشريعة الله تبارك وتعالى في الأرض تؤتي الأرض بركتها حتى يستظل الفئام من الناس في ظل قشر الرمانة كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Sheikh continues by saying that this success in implementing the Sharia and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing what you are ordered and staying away from what you are prohibited, this will be something that will truly attain you success, and this is something that will even be seen before the day of Qiyamah comes, when the people, when the animals who are usually enemies with one another, they shall be together. Also people, they will have such barakah on the earth that a pomegranate covering can be used as a shelter. This is how much barakah we shall have. The pomegranate, you can take its peel and it will be it can be used as a covering.
وهذا على مستوى مجموع الأمة. الفلاح على مستوى مجموع الأمة.
And this falah will be generally for the whole of the ummah.
وأما لأفرادها فإنهم يفلحون بالحصول على السعادة التي لا يحصل عليها أحد غير من زكى نفسه.
And as for the individual, he will have such happiness and contentness that no one can ever attain this unless he is a person who has performed tazkiyah for himself.
ولذلك قال بعض التابعين والله لو علموا ما نجد في قلوبنا لجالدونا عليه بالسيوف.
This is why some of the tabi'een have said, if the other people, those who were opposing us, knew the content that we have in our hearts and the happiness that we have in our hearts, they would fight us with their swords to try to take it from us for themselves.
فهي أعظم فلاح للنفس البشرية في الحقيقة.
For it is the best and the most blessed type of success that a person or a human can ever attain.
وأما في الآخرة فحدث عن ذلك ولا حرج. فحدث عن الفلاح العظيم والسعادة العظيمة التي يحصل بها المؤمن يحصل عليها المؤمن وذلك عبر مراحل ثلاث. الأولى في منزله في منزله في القبر، والثانية كما قال الشيخ الشحالي في محدثا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في مأمنه يوم القيامة، والثالث في دخوله جنة الله ورضوانه.
The Sheikh says, and after discussing the success of the dunya, it is now important for us to understand that imagine now the success that you will have in the life you will have in the Akhirah. After having seen this, what will your situation be in the Akhirah? You will have salvation and success in three different levels. When you are in the grave, you will be in success and contentment and happiness and bliss. And when you are in the Day of Judgment, as the Sheikh Ali has already pointed out to us, you will not be in fear because you feared Allah already in this dunya. And imagine...
you mention about this?
No. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sheikh Ali narrated to us the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And finally also in the Jannah you will have bliss and you shall have success. And the Sheikh says, Wallahu a'lam. Concluded by saying, Wallahu a'lam.
We understand that falah is such a great thing that in this life, for those who truly enjoy it, then they feel that even if they are weak, they are subdued, they are powerless, they feel that if their oppressors knew about their happiness, the happiness they enjoy, they would try to fight them for it with their swords. Now, keeping within the scope of this discussion, we want to understand the connection between the victory from Allah Azza wa Jal and tazkiyah in general sense before we go into some more detail. So we will ask Sheikh Ali to tell us about this and to indicate to us the classification of nasr or victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
أقول إن النصر كما قلنا نصران، نصر متعلق بالأفراد ونصر متعلق بالأمم. هذا من حيث من يقوم به النصر، وأما من جانب آخر فإن نصر الأمم لا يأتيها من فراغ ولا يكون على غير قاعدة، بل إنه لابد أن يكون مؤسساً على نصر آخر، هو نصر هذه الأمة لربها. فإذا نصرت الأمة ربها بأن تلتزم بأمره وأن تحتكم لشرعه وأن تزكي نفوسها وتتخلق بأخلاق نبيها وتتأسى بأكمل أسوة عندها، كما قال الله عز وجل: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر. إذا وجد ذلك في الأمة كانت الأمة قد استقامت على نصرة الله، فلتنتظر نصرة الله لها إذ هي قد نصرت الله عز وجل. والله يقول: إن تنصروا الله ينصركم ويثبت أقدامكم. فالله عز وجل يريد من عباده أن ينصروه، أما هو وهو الذي عطاؤه لا ينفد، فإنه يعطيهم فوق النصر الثبات عليه والاستقامة به والدوام، طالما أنهم دائمون على ما يحب الله وعلى ما فيه طاعة الله عز وجل. لذلك لن يكون النصر نصرا مؤزرا ترفع الأمة فيه أعناقها وتستقيم به هاماتها إلا إذا نصرت هي ربها. أما أن تنظر إلى غير هذا وذاك من بنيات الطريق تعظم الدنيا في نفوسها وتعظم المادة في قلوبها من غير أن يكون نصرة منها لربها ولا تعظيم منها لإلهها، فلن يكون نصر ولن يكون تمكين ولن يكون فلاح. والله عز وجل قد قال، وقوله الحق: وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات بماذا؟ ليستخلفنهم في الأرض كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم، وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم، وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا. هذه أصول النصر، وهذه قواعده، وهذه ثمراته. لا يريد الله منا مقابل ذلك كله إلا أن نلتزم بأمره ونزكي نفوسنا وفق سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Sheikh Ali Hassan حفظه الله answers the question by saying the victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can only be of two types, or it is of two types: the victory of an individual for himself and the victory of a whole nation, the whole ummah. The victory of the whole ummah is the victory that we are hoping for and we are striving for and we should be working for. And the only way the victory of the whole ummah of the nation can be brought about is by striving for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and laying down the foundation, laying down the foundation that we can build upon the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this foundation is giving victory to Allah, meaning worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the worship He is most deserving of us, following the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordering what is good and forbidding what is evil, doing what we are commanded and staying away from what we have been ordered to stay away from, enforcing the manners of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us. As Allah has said in the Messenger, verily in the Messenger of Allah to you was a good example for those who are wishing for Allah and the Yawm al-Akhir, wishing for Allah and the Day of Judgment, and as such. Also the Sheikh says, when it is established, when will the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be established? It can only be established after we have purified ourselves and have performed and have completed our tazkiyah on an individual and complete basis. Individual and a basis for all of us who have to complete it. He continues and says, for if we give victory to Allah, meaning worship Allah and enforce and implement His laws, He will give victory to us. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهِ, if you are striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give victory to Allah while striving for it, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ, He in turn shall give you the victory you were hoping for. وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ, and not just give you victory, but He shall make your feet steadfast. He shall make you steadfast. Not just victory for a year or 2 years, but you shall be there steadfast. The Shaykh continues in saying, it would be a continuous victory. An unequivocal victory can only be brought about after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to perform such an action. After having performed the tazkiyah on an individual and a whole basis, and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and giving victory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the victory shall be given to us from Him, Azza wa Jal. We cannot be from those who are striving for the dunya and the madda and the wealth, only for things such as this. We must be from those who are in the following of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hoping for Allah's reward, and only that. Allah, as the Shaykh points out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ, Allah has promised those of you who believe from you, وَآمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and who do righteous deeds, لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, He shall give them the inheritance of the land, وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ, and He shall allow them the ability, the facility to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their religion. يُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ, الَّذِي اصطفى لَهُمْ, to establish and facilitate the religion. ارتضى لَهُمْ, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is content for us to worship Him by. After having done this, being from those who perform the righteous deeds and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after this, we shall be the inheritors and we shall be the protectors of the earth, and we shall be the ones worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such. And this is where the Shaykh Hafidhahullah had passed.
I don't think that we can overemphasize the importance of understanding the connection between the tazkiyah and giving support to Allah's deen, as Allah says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. These two are really so connected that you can say that to a certain degree they are synonymous. Tazkiyah means to give victory to Allah's cause, which means Tansurullah. It is the same. Because if we want to support Allah's cause, it means we have to establish His deen in all respects, at all levels, in all of our lives, apply the sunnah totally and completely, or as much as we can. So this means supporting Allah's cause, and it also means to purify our souls. Purifying our souls means to live by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the deen, we have to realize that the deen that Allah sent down, it was not a deen of rituals, that we stand up and perform the prayer in the proper manner without it touching our hearts, without it reaching our souls. It is all one thing. It is the heart and the body. So the deen is meant to purify our souls as well as purify our actions and our bodies. So with this correct understanding of the deen, that it is a combination of commands that are meant to purify our whole, including our souls and our hearts, then we understand that tazkiyah, or ihsan, or taqwa, or albir, all of these, righteousness, piety, purification, Islam, all of these become synonymous, become similar in meanings, because for ihsan, perfection of the deeds, they all are meant to establish the same thing But each word has the emphasis put at a different place, but all meant for the same purpose. So with this understanding, we know that it is impossible, as you will hear more of this inshallah later on, it is impossible to get support from Allah, to get victory from Allah without tazkiyah, without supporting Allah's cause, without ihsan, without being righteous, without being pious. So we cannot separate ourselves and say, I want to be a practicing Muslim, but I don't want to be a pious Muslim. We can't say that. A Muslim, to be a complete Muslim, he has to work hard to have taqwa in his heart. And to continuously work on increasing, preserving and increasing the taqwa in himself. And so on. So now, inshallah, we will discuss some aspects of tazkiyah, specific aspects of tazkiyah, and see how, as examples, because there are other aspects, of course, as examples to tell us how and why are these needed for us to attain victory on ourselves in this life, in the next life, and so on. And we discuss first, very briefly, tawbah, and how it is a way to victory. We discussed this in detail yesterday, but just for completeness of the subject, today inshallah we discuss it briefly, and then we'll discuss fear. How can fear be fearing Allah Azza wa Jalla? How can fearing Allah in the proper way be a way to victory? How can fear be a way to victory? I mean, in the shallow minds of some people, it seems contradictory. If you are fearing, that means you are victorious, or you get victory. Yes, indeed, and inshallah, Sheikh Abu Abdul Rahman will tell us about this.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashraf al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen. Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi ajma'in. Wa ba'd. التوبة إلى الله تأملتها فوجدتها عبادة من عبادات القلوب لم أرى عبادة من العبادات التي شرعها الله للعباد كعبادة التوبة.
He says upon analyzing tawbah, it is noticed that tawbah is from the actions of the heart. It is from the worships done by the heart. And it is one of the most important worships of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a Muslim can perform.
بل تأملتها فما وجدت عبادة مثلها.
And I have noticed that there can be no worship as such in its category.
فانظروا كيف أن الله عز وجل أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أن الله عز وجل يحب هذه التوبة فقال.
Listen to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم emphasizing this to us by mentioning how Allah loves for His slave to repent to Him by saying.
قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما صح عنه أنه قال لله أشد فرحا بتوبة عبده المؤمن إذا تاب إليه من أحدكم بأرض فلات معه راحلته عليها وكاؤها وسقاؤه فانطلقت فذهب في طلبها فآيس منها حتى استظل إلى ظل شجرة ينتظر الموت فأفاق وإذ هي على رأسه بخطامها وسقائه ووكائه على رأسه ففرح فقال من شدة الفرح اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك أخطأ من شدة الفرح هذا الفرح الله أشد فرحا منه.
The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is authentically reported that he has said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more pleased in his servant's repentance than this example of a man who is traveling in a barren land with only one mode of transportation, his camel, with everything packed on it. And all of a sudden he loses his camel with all of its supplies and he finds himself by himself, all alone. And he is waiting for death, and he falls asleep, and when he wakes up, he sees the camel standing in front of him with all of its supplies. And because he is so happy with this
with the camel returning, he says, because of a mistake, because of his happiness, oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. Because he made a mistake, he was so happy, he did not comprehend exactly what he had said. Allah is happier with his slaves returned to him through tawbah than this man, than this man's happiness when his camel returns.
So this in English. So you can imagine how much he has his happiness. You can imagine that. Allah Azza wa Jal yafrah a'zam min dhalik.
Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is more pleased than this person would be, more happy than this person would be.
At-tawbah فيها ذل وتعظيم لله وهذه عبادة.
توبة involves humility and honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humility on your part and honoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
التوبة نابعة من الخوف من الله والخوف عبادة.
توبة is derived from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of Allah is عبادة.
التوبة نابعة من الرجاء والرجاء عبادة.
And tawbah is also derived from raja, hoping in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and raja is also a ibadah.
At-tawbah ta'ni al-khashyah min Allah, wal-khashyah ibadah.
And tawbah also emphasizes the fear and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is from ibadah.
At-tawbah ta'ni du'a wal-talab min Allah, wal-du'a ibadah.
And tawbah involves and is derived from dua, supplicating to Allah. And as we all know, dua and supplication is a ibadah.
At-tawbah buka wa nadam lillah wa hiya ibadah.
Tawbah is a regret, sincere regret, and it is crying unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And regret and crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a worship, it is a ibadah.
At-tawbah ta'alluq billah. لأنه لا يعلم أن أحد يتوب عليه إلا الله. إفراد تفريد لله وإفراد لله بمطلق الإلهية والكمال والتفرد بالأمر والخلق وأنه إليه الأمر كله وهذه عبادة.
Tawbah involves you singling out only Allah, being only in fear of Him, because you know that the only one who can forgive you and accept your repentance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
التوبه تذكر للجنة والنار وهي عبادة.
Tawbah is reminding yourself and others of the Jannah and its bliss and the fire and its punishment, and this is worship.
At-tawbah dhikr lillah wa dhikru ibadah.
Tawbah is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by performing dhikr, and it is ibadah.
At-tawbah mujahadatun lishaytan wa mudafa'atun lishaytan wa hiya ibadah.
Tawbah is also defending oneself and pushing away the shaytan and its temptations, and this is also a ibadah.
انظر كيف التوبة احتوت على عبادات من أعظم العبادات القلبية والعملية.
See how tawbah, one action, the tawbah involves all of these other عبادات, whether they are actions and worships of the heart or of the عمل or of the body.
ثم هي بصيرة للمؤمن أن يعرف مداخل الشيطان فيحذرها وأن يعرف مسالك رضا الرحمن فيسلكها.
Tawbah is also a way of the believer knowing and being wary of the entrances that the shaitan may enter upon him and the things that he may fall into in regards to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he will leave them off.
فحق لها أن تكون من أعظم أسباب النصر, نصر الإنسان على الشيطان ونصر الإنسان على نفسه الخبيثة وتحقيقه للإيمان الذي يترتب عليه تحقيق النصر والفلاح في الدنيا والآخرة.
And therefore we see that tawbah is a form of success. It is success over the shaitan and success over your own soul in being able to control yourself and therefore attaining the success in the tazkiyah.
وأما الخوف من الله فهو الذي أرق مضاجع الصالحين.
And as for the fear of Allah, this is the abode of the salihin, the righteous.
أرق مضاجع الصالحين. أرق يعني
it makes them sleepless. The صالحين, the fear of Allah causes them to be in a state of sleeplessness from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ومبنى الخوف على أمرين.
Fear is built upon two principles.
الخوف من الله تبارك وتعالى. على أمرين. الأول الخوف من الله. وصف الله المؤمنين فقال يخافون ربهم من فوقهم.
As we have previously stated before the interruption, الخوف it is of two types. The first is to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, actually it's not two types. It has the khawf, it has two fundamentals.
Two principles, now, as we translated before. Now, it has two principles. The first is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are in fear of their Lord who is above them. من فوقهم.
وقال في الأصل الثاني في وصف المؤمنين إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمًا عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا.
بإيش النقطة الثانية عن الله؟
أنهم يخافون جزاء الله ويخافون النار ويخافون ما في الحساب من مواقف وأهوال عظيمة. فخوفهم مبناه على هذين الأمرين: خوف من الله لعظمته واستحقاقيته بالعظمة والجلال، وخوف من عقابه وناره وغضبه ومقته سبحانه وتعالى.
And the second principle or the second point of fear, it is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment, whether it will be in the grave or whether it will be in the akhirah or whether it will be in the fire after the day of judgment. These are things that the believer will also be in fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in. So these are the two principles: fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself because he is the Lord, and second, fearing Allah's punishment that may be set in store for the disobedient.
ولذلك وصف سفيان الثوري رحمه الله تعالى وهو إمام أمير المؤمنين في الحديث كان إذا ذكر النار لم ينتفع به أياما حتى يسأل عن المسألة فيقول لا أدري لا أدري، وكان يراقب فينظر في حاله فيجدون أنه يرتعد أحيانا ويقول النار النار ويبكي حينما يختلي بنفسه، فأرق ذكر النار مضجعه وأفسد عليه حياته وأفسد عليه أن يهنأ بهذه الحياة وأن يتلذذ بها، وعلم أن قلبه معلق بالآخرة خائف من ذلك اليوم الذي وصف الله المؤمنين فقال إنا نخاف، وصفهم بعدما كانوا يطعمون الطعام ويفعلون الصدقة قال إنا نخاف من ربنا يوما عبوسا قمطريرا.
The chef points out to us the example of Sufyan al-Thawri, who was given the title of Amir al-Mu'mineen in Hadith, one of the great scholars of Islam from the past. He was known to be a person that when the fire was described or talked about in his presence, or he remembered the fire, he would be of no use. He would be so absorbed in the discussion about the fire and in the remembrance of the fire that if someone came to ask him a question for many days, he would say, I do not know, leave me alone. And it would be noticed that when people would come and he was in such a state in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the punishment, that he would be shaking from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflecting upon the verse the people are in fear of the day yawman abusan qamtarira. I really don't
know. في الحقيقة بس أحب أن أختم بإشارتين سريعتين جدا. الأولى I want to finish my talk to mention two light things, very quickly. The first one تتعلق بأن هذا الخوف يتميز به أهل السنة والجماعة عن سائر الصوفية والخرافية والمبتدعة الذين يخافون، لكن خوفهم ليس خوفا صحيحا سليما مبناه على هذين الأصلين الذي ذكرتهم.
It is important for us to point out now that the discussion we are discussing about the fear of Allah, we must point out the difference that our fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built on the sunnah and the two principles that we have just described to you is different than what the Sufiyya may say or their claim that they are in fear of Allah also. Because their fear is not built upon these two principles of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing His punishment. They have other things and other concepts.
والثاني أن من ميزات العقيدة السلفية أنها تدرس مثل هذه المواضيع التزكوية الإيمانية، وهذا لا تجده في سائر كتب العقيدة من أهل الكلام والفلسفة وغيرهم، فمن هذه المعاني التزكوية الإيمانية.
And another important point for us to understand that in the books of Aqidah of the people of the Salafiyya, when you read their Aqidah books, you will see that they are full of these stories bringing us and the discussions of fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet if you look at the Aqidah books of the others, their books, you will see that their books will be free from, totally free from the discussion of the fear of Allah and these topics. So it shows us that the Aqidah Salafiyya is all-encompassing and all-gathering in such an accord.
In fact, they don't talk about this issue. Yeah. Not talking about description or examples. They don't mention about it at all.
So it's totally ignored. The issues of tazkiyah, of purifying the souls, you find that even though it is a major aspect of the Aqidah of the Salaf, but it is totally ignored, and the books of the Mubtadi'ah, of the people of Bid'ah, are void of such a discussion, totally. Like Ash'ari and Mu'tazila and people like them. Also from the examples of tazkiyah, or aspects of tazkiyah that are required for, but again I'd like to go back and emphasize what I started earlier about that, how fear, you know, you see how we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we submit ourselves to Him, we humble ourselves before Him, we ask Him for forgiveness for our sins, we express our fear of Him, of His hellfire, of His punishment, and this is a means of victory for us. This is a means of victory, to be fearful of Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, because then everything else is under His control. If we fear Allah, as you heard in the hadith that Shaykh Ali a little earlier mentioned, that whoever, I would not bring two fears or two as acts of safety or aspects of safety for the believer. If he fears me in this life, he will feel secure of me in the hereafter. So we fear Allah in this life, we are secure of Him in the hereafter. We feel secure of Him in this life, which means we are careless about His commands, about His warnings, we are in trouble in the hereafter, waliyadhu billah. So fearing Allah Azza wa Jal gives us security in this life. If we fear Allah in this life, we get security from everything else, and security in the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal gives us victory, because by that we are establishing His deen, we are giving support to His deen, to His commands, and therefore we are making a complete tazkiyah, or this is an element of the complete tazkiyah that we are supposed to be performing over ourselves. Next thing that Sheikh Abu al-Harith al-Halabi will have to depart soon to another talk, so inshallah I'll have him discuss another important aspect of tazkiyah, which is tawakkul and isti'adha, which means to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek refuge in Him. These are two different acts of the heart, as we call them, or manners of tazkiyah, but they are very related, and that is why inshallah we'll ask him to describe to them and to inform us how these are also means of attaining victory, because somebody would say, if you rely on someone else, then how can you be victorious? You have to be self-independent. But not so with respect to relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني نريد أن نبين كيف أن التوكل وإن كان على الخلق فيه ذل وضعف ولكن على الله عز وجل فيه النصر والعزم.
أما التوكل فهو الاعتماد والكفاية. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل، أو في قوله تعالى حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. فمن أدى حق التوكل على الله فإنه يكون عامر القلب بالطاعة، وعامر الجوارح بالعبادة ومليء القلب بكافة أنواع الخوف والخشية والرجاء، لأن هذه الشؤون كلها هي التي تولد التوكل الحق. وأما الاستعاذة فهي اللجوء، عندما يقول الله عز وجل فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، أي الجأ إلى الله، فإنه حصنك الحصين وحاميك الأمين من كيد الشيطان الرجيم وجنده أجمعين. وبقدر نقصان التوكل والاستعاذة من القلوب، بقدر ما يترتب على ذلك من الخذلان والهوان والهزيمة والتقهقر. ويكفينا أن نعلم صورتين ذكرهما الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز. في هاتين الصورتين المختلفتين إحداهما عن الأخرى نرى قيمة التوكل والاستعاذة، وكيف أنها من أسباب النصر، وكيف عند تخلف التوكل والاستعاذة تكون أبواب الهزيمة. أما أن الاستعاذة والتوكل من أبواب النصر، فما قصه الله علينا من خبر معركة بدر الكبرى أو غزوة بدر الكبرى، يوم التقى الجمعان، المؤمنون قليل والكافرون كثير، لكن أولئك القليل ملئت قلوبهم تقوى وامتلأت صدورهم توكلا ونعمت نفوسهم بالاستعاذة بالله جل وعلا، فكان النصر حليفهم. ويوم حنين إذ نقص التوكل وضعفت الاستعاذة، فنزل قرآن يتلى إلى يوم القيامة يقرع الأسماع ويصك العقول والقلوب، ليكون درسا تستفيد منه الأمة دهرها وطيلة عمرها، لتعلم من نفسها بنفسها أن النصر من عند الله، كما قال الله عز وجل قل إنما النصر من عند الله.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying التوكل, it implies the reliance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being content with none other than Allah, putting your total reliance only in Him and none other. And this is something that is described in the Quran in many different ayat. حسبي الله, I am content, or it is enough, Allah is enough for me as a protector. My reliance is only in Allah. And this is something that all of the prophets have said, and is placed in the Quran in many different places. And to truly show your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must have this reliance in your conviction. It is something that you must believe inside yourself. It must be something that you show through your heart, something you believe in your heart. And then this belief that you have, it must be shown in your actions and on your lame and on your tongue. Everything you do and everything you say is portraying that your reliance and your protection is only thought from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as for seeking refuge or al-ista'adha, it is seeking refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or calling unto Him for protection. This is al-ista'adha, calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection and knowing that only Allah can be your protection and fortification. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be your protector. And this is understood, the Shaykh explains to us, that the amount of humiliation set upon the Ummah is equal to the amount of their lack of reliance and their lack of isti'adha. The amount of humiliation set upon the Ummah is equal to the amount of lack of tawakkul and lack of isti'adha. The Shaykh explains this to us by mentioning to us in two different surahs, two different stories from the life of the Sahaba, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, He explains to us, the Shaykh explains to us, Allah has described Badr, the battle of Badr. Iltaqa al-jam'an, when the two groups, the two armies came and faced one another. The believing number, the number of believers was very few. And the number of disbelievers was many times their fold. Yet, The believers had their conviction, had their belief, had their and strive for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the victory in accordance to their tawakkul and in accordance to their ista'adha and seeking His protection and in their ibadah of Him. And the other example that the Shaykh hafidhahullah gives us is يوم حنين إذا أعجبتكم كثرتكم. On the day of Hunayn, when the believers who were still, Allah describes them, they were happy and content with their numbers. They saw that their ranks had grown. They thought, Alhamdulillah, we have a large army. They lost some of their conviction and some of their original conviction that they used to have in Badr. So Allah gave them a lesson in the beginning of the war, in the beginning of the battle, as a test for them, and it is something that is recorded to us in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah. So you may return to it when you have the time. Where when the believers lost some of their conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to be defeated in the beginning of the battle to bring them back to their senses and allow them to regain their tawakkul in Him, full tawakkul in Him and their isti'adha in Him. And as the Shaykh says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ And victory is only given by Allah. And victory can only be given by Allah. And this is built upon the nation, the ummah's tawakkul, and the ummah's isti'adha billah. And this is where the Shaykh had stopped.
So, it is again another thing that it is not known except to those who truly understand the aqidah and the beliefs, the true beliefs that Allah Azza wa Jal taught us. Tawakkul is reliance on Allah Azza wa Jal, is an important means of victory. And victory cannot be attained without it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ Whoever relies on Allah, that's sufficient for him. He doesn't need to rely on anything else. And he tells us about the people who met each other from the time before Islam with the previous prophets. And they said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ They said, sufficient for us is Allah and He is the best of supporters. We rely on Him alone. So Allah Azza wa Jal tells us that by the bounty and blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, nothing, no harm touched them and they were the victorious. So indeed, by and through tawakkul, true reliance on Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, we attain His promised victory. There are other examples that we can cite, but we have no time for them, regarding aspects of tazkiyah that are needed collectively needed for victory. So inshallah we move now toward the conclusion of this nadwa. We will be covering two more points. One of them I'll ask from Shaykh Ali, because he again has to leave, so we'll ask him briefly باختصار, يعني, to tell us about how that being hasty concerning victory is a sign, an indication of low level of tazkiyah, low level of iman, low level of practice of Islam. So we'll ask inshallah Shaykh Ali to discuss this briefly.
كان من مواضيع مؤتمرات جمعية القرآن والسنة السابقة مؤتمر متعلق بالدعوة وتأصيلها وأثرها الإيجابي والاستعجال الذي يداخل قلوب كثير من الناس وكيف يكون ذا أثر سلبي كبير على النفوس ومن هذا نأخذ الجواب عما في هذه النقطة أن استعجال النصر وتطلبه والرغبة فيه من غير أن تكون هنالك قاعدة ترفعه وأساس يؤكده وبناء يعليه فلن يكون هنالك نصر لأنه بناء لا على قاعدة ولأنه لواء لا على أساس فكل ما كان على ذلك فإنه يكون على شفا جرف هار ولو تأملنا كيف كانت نفوس الصحابة في العصر المكي
وكيف كانوا راغبين بمجاهدة الأعداء ومقاتلة الكافرين، لكن أمرهم الله عز وجل أن يكفوا أيديهم. لماذا؟ حتى تستوي قلوبهم وتكون نفوسهم مليئة بحب الله ومليئة بالرغبة بما عند الله عز وجل. فالاستعجال للنصر من غير أن تكون هنالك قاعدة تؤسسه فإنه سينعكس بالسلب ويكون سيء الآثار وسيء النتائج، على حد قول من قال من أهل العلم: من تعجل الشيء قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. وعندما جاء خباب بن الأرت يسأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يدعو الله لهم بأن يخفف عنهم ما هم فيه، لم يرده الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، وإنما بين له أن ما هم فيه من بلاء لا يشكل شيئا من البلاء الذي كان قد أصاب الأمم السابقة. ثم قال: والله ليتمن هذا الأمر حتى يسير الراكب من صنعاء إلى حضرموت لا يخشى إلا الله والذئب على غنمه ولكنكم تستعجلون، أي تستعجلون أمرا لكم فيه أنات ومهل بحيث تستطيعون الوقوف على أقدامكم والمواجهة لأعدائكم وأن تكونوا محل نصرة الله لكم.
تفضل. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Sheikh answering the question, he says, forcing a so-called victory or trying to bring about a victory that has no foundation and no workers to raise more on this foundation, a building, an asas, and to strengthen the foundation, can have no, cannot be labeled a victory, for it will not withstand the test of time and it will collapse. It will collapse. The Sheikh said, let us look at the times of the Sahaba when they were living in Mecca. They were full of energy and they were full of passion and they wanted to go and to fight the mushrikeen and take back and reclaim what they had taken from them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them, kuffu aydiyakum, hold back your hands, it is not time yet, in order that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow them to have the time to have their souls purified, to have their energies acquired, to have their iman built up, so that when they do, when they are given the permission, then their victory shall withstand. And this is what has happened when they moved to Al-Madinah. The Sheikh went on to explain one of the points of one of the ulama, where he said, for a person, استعجال الشيخ قبل أواني, for a person to seek something before its due time of picking, his punishment that he will not have it at all. If you try to pick something before it is ready, your punishment will be that you will not have it at all. You will not receive it at all. And the Sheikh explains this to us further by narrating to us the story of Khabbab when he came to the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he told him, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for us to relieve some of the pain and the pressure and the stress that we are facing. And the Rasul did not answer him. He did not acknowledge him. But he explained to him, the Rasul answered him by explaining to him the past nations and the trials that they went through and the test that they had to withstand. And then he told him, by Allah, Allah shall give full victory to this religion, where one of you will not fear for himself will not fear anything upon himself from Hadramaut to Sana'a. He will only fear the coyotes for his animals. He will have no fear of anyone attacking him or anything as such. But you are hurrying the thing too quickly. You are hurrying the matter too quickly. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ You are trying to bring about a change too quickly. And this is where the Shaykh Hafidhahullah had stopped off.
So now we will conclude by another a brief but important point, which is that, and we started with the ayah in which Allah Azza wa Jal says that what means he is successful who makes tazkiyah for his soul, and he is a loser who makes tadsiya, who brings it down, degrades his soul. So we, Shaykh Abu Abdul Rahman, inshallah, will tell us briefly how tadsiya is a preventer, prevents victory, how it is a barrier between us and victory, inshallah. And I'm sorry to say that we'll not have time also for questions again, but during the open session tomorrow we were promised that they will allow such a thing.
You want me to try in English? Assalamu alaykum, bismillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. I will ask you first before I talk, I test you. You remember what I said yesterday about tahliya and takhliya? Huh? You still remember? We taught them yesterday two new words in Arabic. Tahliya and takhliya. Tadsiya, it has the same thing. But it doesn't have tahliya. It has takhliya and idafa added. Idafa. Additional. Tadsiya, ta'ani, تدسية تعني نزع المعاني الحسنة من القلب واستبدالها بالأشياء القبيحة المهلكة.
تدسية means that you remove from the heart the good things, the pure things, and you put in its place the evil things. So it is the opposite of what التزكية.
لأن القلب محل.
Because the قلب, it is the place.
To make it simple, it's like this glass. If you fill up this glass with the sand, you can't put on it ice until you remove the sand. So the qalb is the same thing. لكي تدخل الإيمان في قلبك يجب أن تخرج من قلبك ضده.
To enter into your heart, iman, you must remove the evil that is in it. What is opposite iman?
ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن يمتلئ قلب أحدكم أو جف أحدكم قيحا خير له من أن يمتلئ شعرا. قال الإمام ابن القيم وهذا دليل على أن القلوب أوعية متى ملئت بغير كلام الله ورسوله لم يعد فيها مكان ومحل لكلام الله ورسوله وللحق والهدى والنور.
معنى معنى ما الحديث قال صلى الله عليه وسلم has said
جوف أحدكم قيحة.
ما معنى
قيحة؟ لشيء قيحة
The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said it would be better for one of you to have his insides full of pus بدلا
خيرا له من أن يمتلئ شعرا.
Instead of him being full of having poetry, evil poetry.
نعم.
قال ابن القيم وفي هذا الدليل على أن القلوب أوعية إذا ملئت بالشيء الفاسد لم يعد فيها مكان للشيء للهداية والنور.
شيخ الإسلام ابن القيم his تعليق on this, his understanding of this hadith, he mentions that this is a proof in understanding that if you feel something with evil then you must remove this evil before you can cleanse it and put something good back in it.
لذلك كانت الأعمال السيئة تقطعك عن الفلاح والنصر.
This is why we see when you do evil deeds, it cuts you away from doing or prohibits you from doing good and righteous deeds, which will keep you away from having and attaining success.
فهي تمنعك من الوصول إلى الله ومعرفة الله ومعرفة شرعه وتطبيقه واتباع هدى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And when this happens, it will cut you off from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, enforcing the sharia, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, implementing the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم.
والثاني أنها تحرمك من الفلاح والنصر تحرم الأمة بمجموعها من التمكين والظهور والعزة في هذه الدنيا كما هو حال المسلمين اليوم.
And the second evil characteristic of it is that it prohibits the ummah from having tamkeen, from having ability and strength and unity and all of the righteous things, and it places in its place the evil actions and the evil tendencies.
كما تراه اليوم في واقع الأمة لأنهم فقدوا التزكية.
As you see today in our ummah, because we have left التزكية.
وتحرمك أعظم الحرمان وأشد الخسارة وهي أنك تحرمك من فضل الله، وقد تحرمك من رحمة الله، وقد تحرمك من الأمن من الله بدرجات متفاوتة. فإن دسيتها غاية التدسية فإنك تحرم حرمانا كاملا. إذا ذهبت إلى الكفر وارتددت عن دين الله فحين يحصل لك الخوف الكامل والخسارة الكاملة.
And from the greatest of its evils is that it can keep you away from having the fadl from Allah and the blessings from Allah and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and keep you away from this as you are placed further and further into the disbelieving scenarios and societies and as such.
أو خسارة أقل من ذلك وهي لأهل الإيمان العصاة أنهم موعودون أو موعدون بأنهم قد يكون عرضة لعقاب الله ما لم يخرجوا عن عقد الإسلام.
And even less than this is that
يعني يجب أن تفرق لهم أن في أمرين، خسارة كاملة للذي يفسد قلبه بالكفر، وخسارة أقل منها هو تعوعده بالنار دون الخلود فيها للعصاة المؤمنة.
He is clarifying a point for you that you must understand that there are two khasaras, two main things that can affect you adversely. One is that you may be a person whose whole heart is taken with this and you have lost yourself. And the other lesser type of khasara or a lesser type of evil is that you may be affected and you may be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the evil things that you may be led to do.
وأخيرا أحب أن أنبه إلى أمر يتعلق بالتوكل الذي أشار إليه الشيخ علي حفظه الله وأضيف إليه شيء، وهو أن التوكل في الحقيقة مجموع أمرين، مجموع اعتماد القلب على الله ومجموع الأخذ بالأسباب الشرعية الكونية، وسبيل النصر باتحاد الأمرين لا أن ينفصل واحد عن الآخر. فاعتماد القلب مع الأخذ بالأسباب هو تحقيق النصر العملي، وهذا هو المفهوم السلفي لمعنى التوكل.
He finally says, let me add two more points in to clarify the word of tawakkul, adding on to the statement of Sheikh Al-Halabi. إيش الأمرين؟
The first. التوكل مجموع أمرين.
The first of them.
No.
It is two things. نعم.
The tawakkul يعني.
It is a combination of two things. The first of them.
اعتماد القلب وتوكله على الله كما أفاض الشيخ وأشار.
Your heart is put in the reliance of Allah. Your reliance is put with Allah only.
كما سبق يعني.
As the Sheikh has explained.
والآخر الأخذ بالأسباب الشرعية والكونية القدرية.
And the second is taking with what Allah subhanahu wa taala has given us in our shara and what we have around us. نعم. Applying the means that we have been given. نعم.
وهذا هو المفهوم الصحيح السلفي لمعنى التوكل. لا أن ينفصل واحدة عن الأخرى. كالكفار يأخذون بالماديات ويتركون الله ولا يعتمدون عليه. أو الصوفية وغيرهم الذين يأخذون التوكل دون الأخذ بالأسباب.
And this is the true Salafi way of enforcing tawakkul. We do not just focus on one and leave the other. We focus on the heart and its tawakkul, and we also focus on the other point. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ
عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ.
اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.